Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pello, and I'm a group director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could join us for our webinar titled Postal Optimization, the Key to Profitable Marketing Campaigns. I tell everybody that, you know, understanding and using the postal system to your advantage can be a full-time job. Mailers are continually impacted by postal increases, and that's why it's critical to choose a provider with a detailed knowledge of postal rate solutions and the equipment, processes, and software that are required to take advantage of the lowest rates. In this webinar, you're going to hear a couple of unique perspectives. First of all, we've got Leo Raymond from the Association of Marketing Services Providers, and he's the Vice President of Postal and Member Relations. And Leo's going to really do a good job at providing us with an update on what's going on with the USPS. And then we've got Carrie Hanafy, and she's the Director of Quality and Operational Initiatives at Datamail. And what Carrie's going to be doing with us today is discussing the way that Datamail approaches helping their clients ensure that they get the best postal rates. Before we get started, I do want to provide a couple of tips for webinar attendees. First of all, if you're having any technical difficulties, you can let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget below. If you've got questions for today's speakers, and we will be taking them throughout the webinar, all you have to do is submit them via the Q&A button, and we'll answer them as promptly as we can. Make sure that you've disabled pop-up blockers, and if you want to see what the console can do, click on the Tips for Attendee widget for a complete rundown. Now, with that as a backdrop, let me share with you what we'll be covering today. I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes talking about critical trends that we see relative to direct mail in the marketplace and options for saving money. Then what Leo will do is he's going to spend some time talking about the state of the USPS. And then Carrie's going to share with us how they're optimizing postal savings at Datamail. We'll wrap up with a few recommendations and conclusions. And, again, please feel free to ask questions throughout the webinar, and we'll answer them very, very quickly. Now, when you think about direct mail, I tell everybody that it's not going away and it's going to be an integral part of the marketing mix. There's a number of statistics out there that discuss the importance of direct mail. If you listen to Target Marketing Magazine in their 2012 annual media survey, they're saying that direct mail delivers the strongest ROI for acquisition, contact, and retention. The Mail Moment study says that 80% of households say that they read or scan mail daily. The U.S. Mobile Commerce Survey sales are growing at 98.6% and are targeted to reach $20.85 billion. That's according to Internet Retailer. But the big message around that is that what we're seeing is an integration of mobile with direct mail. And 59% of consumers say that they enjoy getting mail from brands about new products. So the message is, again, direct mail isn't going away. And when I talk about the integration of direct mail and statements and bills with other media, what we found out was that the number of media channels that people were using was 3. The other component, though, was that 47% of all printed marketing materials are linked to some form of digital channel, and they have been for the past 12 months. Now, when you look at what digital channels they're connecting to, what you're seeing is that direct mail and bills or statements are 2 of the top 3. So it says that what I'm doing is I'm blending that direct mail, that bill or that statement, with some other form of digital channel. Now, when you think about direct mail, postage typically represents about 65% of any direct mail project's budget. And what we're looking at is a lot of advertisers that are leaving money on the table, and they're overlooking critical discounts and incentives, not to mention planning and tracking their mail very precisely. Today, we're going to get a good update on this, as I indicated, on the state of the USPS, as well as how to identify and get the best discounts and the technical hurdles to earning those discounts. Now, when we ask folks about why postage is so important, print service providers like data mail have an opportunity to guide those marketers in reducing postage costs and optimizing the results of campaigns by aggressively pursuing postal optimization, logistics strategies, and campaign optimization techniques. The key is to integrate postal optimization into the campaign planning process, which is going to improve results, reduce postal costs, and squash postal waste. What is most important for companies with large-scale mailings is to address what we do call postal optimization. It's a simple term, but not a simple process. And without it, you run that risk of submitting mail to the USPS that doesn't adhere to its standards, and if it fails to qualify for the, and it could fail to qualify for many of the discounts. So there's a lot of steps, and you'll hear more about this during the webinar, that you do need to take. The first one is something like mail pre-sorting that groups mail by zip code to maximize postal discounts. You want to take a look at things like commingling or merging multiple mail streams of mail into a single stream within the same zip to qualify for postal discounts. Clearly, mail cleansing is critical, and the USPS requires mailers taking automation discounts on postage to adhere to a certification program known as CAS. And then there's intelligent mail barcodes. This tracking identifier enables the USPS to provide the feedback on automated mail pieces. It's a solution that can help a mailer capture the feedback data made available by this identifier and can allow for less incorrect addresses, a smoother delivery process, and additional postal discounts. And then there's the postal accuracy validation and evaluation process. And like CAS certification, the USPS provides discounts for companies using PAVE certified software that accurately sorts addresses into zip code order mailing. Now, those are just a couple of the areas. There are also logistics strategies such as optimal packaging and targeted in-home delivery rates, load planning, reporting, co-palletization. So what we'll hear today is a lot more about these options and opportunities to minimize postal costs and maximize discounts. But before we turn it over to Carrie, what I'm going to do is ask Leo to spend some time really sharing what's going on in terms of the overall mailing infrastructure. So with that, take it away, Leo.
Thanks, Barb. Good afternoon, folks. Just a quick update here on what's going on. We've got here, as you can see, I'm the Vice President of Postal Member Relations for AMSP. And to give you an idea of what we are, we're a trade association that offers a complete gamut of trade association services to folks in the marketing service provider business. And that would include people who do marketing, printing, mailing, inserting, fulfillment, the whole gamut of services that customers may demand. We provide industry education and publications. We have conferences and a variety of workshops and training opportunities. We do accreditation programs, and we have, of course, the MyMail Connection program, which allows customers and or mailing service providers and their customers to find each other through this web-based tool. Give you an idea of what's going on with the Postal Service. This picture right here sort of tells it all. As you can see in this graph, it goes back to the early 70s when the Postal Service was first formed. Mail happened for a long time. People didn't have to do an awful lot. It just was, there was prosperity economically. There was no competition for printed mail, so it just sort of produced more and more every year until it got to the right-hand side of the graph when you had the combination of not only a lot of diversion to electronic media, but also the collapse of a lot of things because of the recession. And at that point, traditional beliefs went out the window. As you can see on this slide right here, since 2007, it's been a pretty steady decline in volume and, of course, in revenue. And the Postal Service has been struggling mightily to try to keep its expenses in line with declining income. It's had a lot of problems in that regard, not the least of which is because of influences caused by legislation over the past few years. And Congress has done nothing but get in the way of the Postal Service trying to make things better for itself. As you can see here, this comparison between two fiscal years. And the fiscal year is October 1 to September 30. So going between these two that are 7 years apart, you can see a significant change in the Postal Service's business situation, going from 98 billion pieces of first-class mail in 2005 to just under 70 billion pieces of mail in 2012. And, of course, first-class mail is bill statements, personal correspondence, bill payments, and so forth. And those that have been the most severely affected by the diversion of correspondence and to electronic media. Standard mail fell also by about 20 billion pieces. Of course, that's very economically sensitive. And all of this has been reflected in the volume figure, in the revenue figures, rather, which show that they went from being debt-free in 2005 to being $15 billion in the hole in 2012.
Leo, now, I have a quick question from one of our audience participants.
Yeah.
With the drive and the decline in the number of pieces sent, and really we all know that the actual price per piece in terms of postage has gone up, but do you have insight from the AMSP perspective in terms of which application areas are getting hit the hardest in terms of decreasing volume?
Well, I think that the biggest loss probably has been in bill presentment. Even now, trends indicate that people like to have the other way around. They like to have a hard copy bill, but they will pay it online. So that's been one area where a lot of first-class mail has gone away. And, of course, I don't know when the last time anybody wrote a letter was. So simple personal correspondence has also been a big factor in this decrease. And, of course, the single-piece first-class mail, the kind of things you and I have put a stamp on, has been the biggest single decline, and that is, at the same time, the biggest source of revenue for the Postal Service. And then between first and standard, they represent about 93% of the mail stream. So when you have a high contribution type of mail like single piece first class going away as badly as it has, it takes with it more revenue proportionally than if you lost that much in periodicals, for example, or in standard mail. So that's
okay.
Been the biggest single decline. And as you can see down there, to your point, Barb, the volume over these 7 years has gone down about 30%, and revenue has fallen by about a quarter, despite 7 rate increases. So the Postal Service can't keep up with things that are happening as fast as they're happening. They've tried to do some things to reduce costs. For example, as we know from the news recently, they've tried to reduce mail delivery from 6 days to 5, keeping package delivery on Saturdays. But the governors were forced to reverse themselves on this after Congress interfered by passing another piece of legislation with a requirement to maintain the same kind of delivery that's been going on for forever. The Postal Service is trying to optimize its retail infrastructure, its post offices, by going through a variety of strategies here, the most recent of which is to reduce the operating hours at about 13,000 small post offices all over the country. They really have no business. Two-thirds of the post offices in the country lose money. So they're trying to keep these places open to maintain some level of service for small communities, but still cut back the hours to make it more affordable for them to operate these places. They're also trying to deploy these village post offices, which are a postal kiosk and a postal counter in a general store, for example, or a gas station in rural places. They're trying to take more advantage of APCs, automated postal centers, and other strategies to reduce the cost of providing retail services to Americans all over the country, no matter where they may be.
I got one more quick question. On the six-day, on the elimination of Saturday delivery, was there a lot of lobbying pressure from major companies based on cash flow, or what were the underlying reasons for, government rejecting that? Do you have a perspective on that?
Well, Congress had a strong sense that people wanted to keep 6 day, even though every survey that I've seen conducted independently or by the Postal Service showed that the overwhelming majority of Americans didn't care. They were fine with 5 day delivery. But there was a lot of pressure from some financial institutions initially before the Postal Service decided to maintain the flow of remittance mail. There was some pressure from pharmaceutical companies, for example, who wanted to get their drugs delivered, prescriptions delivered on Saturday. That was before the Postal Service decided to continue package delivery on Saturday. So what was left was a lot of pressure from rural newspapers who wanted to keep it going, and from the unions, of course, because they didn't want to see any job consequences. But labor being 80% of the cost of the Postal Service is very interested in reducing that type of expense. So for a variety of reasons, primarily political, the pollsters are being forced to maintain an expense that Americans are no longer interested in seeing it maintained, and that they're not interested in paying for either.
Now, Leo, I have one other just quick question, and this is a kind of a this is now a Barb Pello personal question, but we live in a community in Colorado where we don't have mail delivery at all. We have to go to the post office and pick up our own mail. Are there other communities like that that force you into picking up your own mail?
Right. There are places all over the country, very, very small communities, very rural situations. Of course, those situations could change if there's a lot of growth coming in, but there are places all over the country in rural areas where there is no delivery. There isn't even rural delivery. And in those situations, Americans are given free post office boxes because that is the mode of delivery that they're provided. The one area where delivery is expanding is in the number of rural routes, because that's what's being established now in suburbia as suburbia grows. So the possibility that someday, if there's enough people moving into where you are, there could be a rural route established to deliver mail to your driveway.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
You're welcome. Now, let's see. What are the cost reductions that are going on? Well, logically, because first-class mail is not what it used to be, and because people no longer need the overnight service that was afforded first class, I mean, they're using email and text and so forth to get things sent to one another now quickly, the Postal Service decided it was going to eliminate its very expensive infrastructure that was designed to support the overnight standard. So what's going on right now is a two-step program. One step has been implemented last July, one more coming next February, that will virtually eliminate the overnight standard for first-class mail. It won't have any noticeable effect on other classes of mail, but the big impact will be on first. And because of that change, the Postal Service will be able to close or consolidate about half of its operating facilities. This is a big, big change, of course, because you're going to have a lot of impact on not just work hours and machinery and physical plants, but you're going to have an impact on positions as well. And at this point, the Postal Service figures they can save about 28,000 jobs because of this process that is ongoing and that will be completed next spring. Bear in mind that these are not people being laid off or fired. The Postal Service's unions have no layoff clauses. So all the people who are going to be affected by this will be put in other jobs, other vacant positions that are being kept open just to receive them. So nobody is being put in the street. There are vacant positions that are being kept available just for this purpose. Okay, now what else is going on here to try to save money? Well, a lot of things are happening, of course, that are of concern to the industry because of all of this. A lot's happening in what the Postal Service is doing and what Congress is doing. There are changes being implemented in the organization itself, as well as in the infrastructure, as we just saw, things that are affecting service performance, perhaps, and that are making changes that are requiring changes in how the mailing industry prepares product to go through the postal system. And, of course, these changes are cost-driven, but they're still affecting the industry, and they're affecting it throughout, whether it's in the services that are available, the prices that are being paid, or in the requirements that apply. Preparation rules, of course, have to keep up with the changing infrastructure. You've got to make sure mail goes to the right place. Discounts are being revalued, although those values are still important to those who pay the prices. You'll always have pre-sort discounts and automation discounts and destination entry discounts, even though those will be changed over time as needs change. And there are also costs that are being pushed out of the industry. Costs, for example, for transportation. If you have fewer plants, you're going to have to drive further, perhaps, to get mail entered into the postal mail stream. Production costs are being affected accordingly. You may have to palletize more, containerize more, and data processing costs are being affected because of requirements for various automation changes. So, you know, what are the basic strategies that we recommend smart mailing companies, smart marketing service providers adopt? The first thing is you've got to really pay attention. Things are happening now, and I realize that a lot of companies have leaned down to the point where they have fewer people, fewer operations, and everybody's working harder, but you have to still make time to pay attention to what's happening. Pay attention to the economic and political circumstances affecting the Postal Service, and in turn, all the changes they're making to the network and the rules that they're being made to do because of the costs that are falling on them. The Postal Service, of course, is requiring broader use of intelligent mail. It helps them operate more efficiently. So this is something which we urge our members to move into, notwithstanding the cost that may be involved in adopting that technology. As the time-honored traditions of pre-sort, destination entry, and automation discounts are still every bit as valid now as they were 10, 15, 20 years ago, making the least number of separations in the mail, figuring out the smartest way to get mail into the mail stream, whether it's downstream or at origin, and, of course, making sure you're ready for the intelligent mail barcode, because that is going to be the automation rate starting next January. Beyond that, we urge our members to simply become more full service, to be able to provide end-to-end services to customers, to their customers, whether it's in campaign management or multi-channel marketing, as well as in traditional things like postal optimization. Because if a member company is made to be seen by its, or can be seen by its clients as an expert, that makes them more valuable, of course. So what's going on in the industry more broadly? Well, the three C's. Contraction is getting smaller, whether it's printing or mailing or anything else. There's less activity. There's consolidation being forced by the economics of the circumstance. And there's convergence. You know, there are no longer freestanding, if you will, companies who just do inserting or just do certain aspects of mail preparation. Now you find more and more companies doing everything or trying to do everything, whether it's printing, mailing, fulfillment, or some combination of all three. They are trying to become more broadly of value to their clients. So, is the industry close to a point where we've reached equilibrium here? You know, what do companies see as their future? You know, is the industry becoming one of haves and have-nots, where you have the large companies who are successful and the small companies who are struggling? Well, that's a good question. But the answer lies really not so much in the numbers, but in where individual companies are seeing their future and seeing what they have to do to become more efficient. This data here, which I believe came, if not from the Postal Service, from the envelope manufacturers, from one of their studies, it really illustrates how much job loss and how much our industry has contracted. As you can see, while we were talking a little bit ago about the possibility for there being 28,000 fewer positions, not people, in the Postal Service because of their downsizing, the numbers you see here for the loss of jobs is real people put on the street. So while many people have been concerned that publicity about letter carriers going out because of Saturday delivery being cut, there's been no visibility at all in the press about 173,000 people across America and all kinds of letter shops and small companies losing their jobs because of how the industry has contracted over the past few years as mail volume has dropped and demand has dropped. But I guess there is some good news if you want to look at it that way, that any kind of upset, discontinuity is also an opportunity for someone. It's an opportunity for the successful companies to retool and to become smarter so that they can escape the commoditization that very often has been characterizing how business has been done by mailing companies. They have to figure out a way to make themselves different in a positive way from their competitors, and then not just create but establish a smart competitive advantage versus competitors in their marketplace, in their market space. So what are your options, really? Effectively, you're going to keep beating up everybody, keep fighting it out in a commoditized environment or in a situation where you are dependent upon a business partner to provide certain services that you lack yourself? Or are you going to diversify to increase the opportunities to offer a wide range of services and to become a provider of engagements, not simply transactions? Or you're going to sell, you're going to merge, or you're going to acquire? It's like baseball. If it's a good year or a bad year, you're a seller or you're a buyer. You're in a growth mode, a rebuilding mode. Well, what are you in this case? Are you going to be sold? Are you going to be selling or buying, rather? Or are you going to be merging with someone? I guess the bottom line really is you have to evolve or the business will not survive. So in conclusion, I guess the point is you've got to be aware of the fact that the industry is changing at a dramatic pace and that, unfortunately, we have the same situation we've had for a number of years. Supply, the number of companies able to provide services is exceeding the demand that's out there in the marketplace. The economy is not back where it was a few years ago. So we don't have the level of demand for hard copy, at least, that there was back then. The Postal Service itself is having a hard time. It's threatened. its economic picture is not bright, and Congress is not helping. So you have to keep an eye on that, be informed, and do the best you can to take advantage of the rate and service opportunities that are available to you based on what the Postal Service requires. And all of us need to take responsibility, take some control, stay informed, learn continuously what's going on in your business, what's going on with the Postal Service, what you need to do to keep on top of things, and, of course, how to create a competitive advantage. So I guess, Barb, with all of that having been said, it's time for Carrie to come in and give us some more details.
I got a couple – before I turn it over to Carrie, I got a couple questions for you, Leo.
Okay.
The first one is – and then we'll turn it over to Carrie. The first one is what resources, as you look at it from a service provider perspective, are available to help a shop really become more of a complete mailing shop? Where do you go to learn? And I know AMSP is a source, but what resource would you recommend that our participants leverage to really, you know, learn about where to go for help or how to become that complete mailing shop?
Well, it's going to sound like a commercial, but the fact of the matter is that need is something which we identified a while ago. So when we do our webinars or even in our publication Postscripts, which is a business publication, as well as at our conferences, we put a lot of emphasis on providing that kind of information. There isn't a How to Improve Your Business for Dummies book out there that can help a mailing service provider become a more full-service marketing service provider. So we try to offer courses and webinars on that topic to our members that are taught by people in the industry who have gone through this and experts in the industry who lead companies in change, in going through the change process to become more survivable, if you will, in the future. So
let me just make a quick comment here. A lot of traditional commercial printers are under extreme pressure to be full service. And so the question we've got coming in really is from one of those, which is one of those types of organizations, which is, you know, if I'm a commercial printer and I'm not savvy at mailing, I mean, I'm going to ask you, and I'm not looking for commercial, but is AMSP a good place to go?
Yes.
Okay.
Because in the world of associations, and there's a gazillion associations for toothpick manufacturers, you name it, that we are the only trade association that is focused on what you traditionally would call a mailing business.
Okay.
And we're trying to offer the kind of service, the kind of instruction and training and support for companies who are in this line of activity, whether they have always been doing it, whether they're moving into it, or whether they are trying to expand from it.
Yep. Okay. And so I got another comment back from one of the participants that says, boy, did that question hit my predicament. And I think that's what we're seeing in a lot of instances today is companies that have really been under extreme pressure to do that. And I'm going to ask you, and I don't think it's on your last website, but one of the questions that also came in is, what is the website address www.a as in Apple, M as in Mary, S as in Sam, P as in Paul.org?
That's correct.
AS is the Association of Marketing Services Providers, AMSP.org. Okay.
Correct.
Now, with that, what I am going to do is I am going to turn it over to Carrie. And Carrie's going to share with you, and by the way, I will tell you that Carrie, I know, belongs and is active in AMSP as well. She's going to share with you a little bit about data mail. And data mail is a big mailer, but the problems and the challenges and the way that they approach them are no different than if you're a smaller mailer. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Carrie. Carrie, take it away.
Thank you so much. Welcome, everyone. I actually want to plug Leo a little bit in the AMSP, and whether you're a small mailer or a large mailer, there are so many resources out there, and I see questions getting posed from small mailers, from large mailers. It's a great community to be able to ask those questions where you feel like, geez, I've got this stupid question. I'm going to go out and I'm going to post it out there. And you have so many people, again, regardless of the size of the mailing company, whether they're mailing 1,000 pieces a day or 10 million pieces a day, they're out there willing to help everybody. We're competitive, but we're all friendly competitors, which is a nice thing. Okay. So you want to go through a little bit here and just kind of give an overview of what my presentation is going to be about. Very quickly, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background of data mail. Really discuss what postal optimization is and what is a postage discount. Talk a little bit about commingling, what it means to commingle and to copalletize, as well as what the standard flow of standard class mail is through the postal system. Talk briefly about data hygiene, how it affects your deliverability, and just some final thoughts and open up the floor for questions. Okay, so our quick snapshot of data mail. We gave a little bit of an introduction, but we are a family-owned business. We've been in business since 1971. Stable company, lots of capital investments. So we're able to buy the co-mingle machines and things like that to better service our customers. We do offer a full-service shop. So we are one of those people that, you know, started in, you know, doing just a little bit of letter shop. Then we, over the years, got into data processing. Then we started with the printing. And now we're into the co-mingle facility. So we started small and we grew. So everybody has that opportunity. Do all sorts of servicing different industries, including financial services, retail, publishing, healthcare, insurance, nonprofit, and telecom. So I know there's a couple of my customers out there in the land, and hello, everyone. And then just finally, we are one of the industry leaders with producing over 1.5 billion pieces of mail last year. Yes, that is billion. And we produce that in our two facilities with about over 500,000 square feet of production facilities and over 800 employees on a 24/7 schedule. Okay. Finally, again, we talked about data mail being full service. That means that we can print, we can manufacture your envelopes for you, a little bit of data processing, not a little bit, how about a lot. Digital color printing with our iGens, laser personalization, just black, multi-channel marketing where we can tie in the emailing with your letter shop. Again, the commingle, and then finally the tracking and the reporting of how your mail is actually delivering. Okay, now for the meat of the presentation. Enough about my company. Postal optimization principles. There are many ways to optimize the postage dollars and the delivery as well. Obviously, to achieve better qualification and to pay lower dollars, you need more density to certain zip codes. So for national mailers, this is a volume-driven game. So if you are mailing to across the country and the list is only 50,000, you're not going to get a lot of concentration. However, if you're a Northeast mailer and you're mailing all to Massachusetts, it's an easier problem to solve. So one size does not fit all. You really have to look at who you're mailing to, who your customers are, and the volume in which you're mailing in order to find the best strategy to use. Better drop-ship discounts are a byproduct of commingling and copalletization of standard class mail, and we're going to talk about those today. Specifically, commingling improves piece-level sortation by pre-sort and qualifies more mail for drop-ship discounts. We're going to talk about drop-ship discounts as well, like saving money. Okay. So what are current postage costs for those of you who don't have this memorized off the top of your head? This is just an example of just standard letter mail and letter mail up to 3.3 ounces in standard class. You can pay 28.2 cents a piece if you've just got a pre-sort, a small mailing, just going local entry, not a lot of concentration. However, if you've got five-digit sortation, which means all the pieces in the tray are going to the same five-digit zip code, you can and go to the SCF, which is your sectional center facility, which is the over 400 that are throughout the country, you're down to 20.4 cents. If you go specifically to an NDC or an SCF, you can get between the 3.3 cents a piece and the 4.3 cents a piece discount. So the prices in this chart reflect those specific discounts. So how do we reduce the postage costs? Like we talked about, by two processes that we're going to talk about today, commingling and copalletization. Commingling is the process of merging post-production individual finished mail pieces into a single qualified mail stream. So that's looking at piece by piece. My example here has different clients, different programs, all going, being merged together on a piece-by-piece level, whereas copalletization is a process of combining full trays of pre-sorted mail from multiple non-identical pre-sorted mailings together, going to the same pallet to obtain drop ship discount, so deeper entry. So again, commingle is a piece-by-piece use of optimization, where Copal is using tray-by-tray. Again, one size does not fit all. You have to figure out what's going to work the best for you, or hopefully your service provider is going to tell you what works the best for you.
Hey, Carrie, I got a question, and you may be answering this a little later. I didn't see it called out in the slides, but one of our participants asked, have you got a specific set of software tools you use? Did you develop them yourself? How do you do that?
That's the big question, and that's why we get paid every day. There are a lot of different ways to look at it, and a lot of it is knowledge. There are software tools that help you to use that. I'll throw in Monticello in there. But you really need the files, and you really need to understand what you're mailing to and the concentration. You have to look at this, you have to understand. So that's where you're really talking to your customers. So if you're the letter shop or you're the service provider, you need to really ask your customer, what are you doing? Where are you mailing to? What's the volume? Is it specific? Is it regionalized? Or did you just grab a list from the air, or are you going for a specific neighborhood? So those are all the things that you just, It's experts kind of working with it and having the knowledge of the postal stream to understand the best way to get it done. I wish there was a silver bullet, but unfortunately there isn't.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So how does commingle save you money? You want to move as much mail to a deeper penetration on a piece-by-piece basis. So like we talked about in the slide before in the postage costs, how great would it be to move a mixed AADC piece at 27.8 cents a piece to a SCF five-digit piece at 19.9 cents a piece. That would save you 7.8 cents a piece.
Okay, so we got a couple questions before you go on. What I've got is somebody who wants to know what AADC, SCF, and NDC stand for.
Oh, my apologies. I will absolutely tell you.
You just used acronyms on us, so they caught you on it.
So the Postal Service goes through, and we're going to kind of talk about it a little bit later, but there's a network that the Postal Service uses, and it goes from your local entry mail, which if you were in Hartford, Connecticut, and you drop ship and you sent mail to the local, your local entry, it would go into Hartford. Or you can prepare mail that takes away the trucking to get to certain areas of the country. So there are 28 plus or minus NDCs throughout the country. NDCs are national distribution centers that are processing facilities for mail. So if I take the mail and everything going for Dallas, Texas, I truck it to Dallas, Texas, I'm going to get a postage discount. That postage discount is the 3.3 cents a piece that we talked about before. If I go to an SCF, there's over 400 of them. They're sectional center facilities. They service the NDCs. So a mail piece, if you drop shipped it to an NDC, the NDC would take the mail, they would cross-dock it, they would split it out, and then send it to an SCF. The SCF would work their magic, do their sortation, and either put it in carrier route sequence or ship it off to what we call a DDU, which is the local post office. So it's just a network of how the mail moves throughout the country. Again, it goes from NDC, which is National Distribution Center, to SCF, which is Sectional Center Facility, finally to the local post office for delivery. When we talk about pre-sorting, pre-sorts are based on tiers of postage. And as you have tiers of postage, they're named different things. And this is all the acronyms that the Postal Service uses. First being five-digit mail, all the pieces in the tray are going to the same five-digit zip code. Three-digit mail, all the pieces in the tray are going to the same three-digit zip code. And it goes down. AADC is an automated area distribution center, which is a bunch of zip codes that are serviced by one specific AADC. So, again, acronyms, sortation, lots of information. Truly, we could probably go on for 3 hours on that topic. I hope that helped.
That's great.
Okay. So when we talk about moving mail from the mixed AADCPs, we're talking about a level of sortation in the pre-sort, which was 27.8 cents a piece, to an SCF five-digit piece, which is a five-digit piece, a five-digit tray, going to a sectional center facility. That would save you 7.8 cents a piece, or $78 per thousand. So if you have a mailing of $1 million, how much is that saving you? Quite a few thousand dollars, or tens of thousands of dollars. Just as a side note, on the bottom of this slide is what we talked about is the five-digit and the three-digit, how we went through the different tiers of postage. We talked that in order to get a five-digit tray of mail to qualify, you need 150 pieces. This is what we mean by the sortation and SCF and NDC and five-digit and three-digit. Okay?
Great.
Okay. So how exactly does commingle work? So it's the process whereby several mail streams are merged together with a machine to increase postal qualifications and discounts on all the mail, regardless of the customer, the version, the size of the mailing, or whatever. Again, it's a piece-by-piece basis. So a combined mailing or a commingled mailing, people use those terms interchangeably, can include all automation-compatible letter-size mail, including postcards, self-mailers, letter packages, up to that breakpoint weight of a breakpoint weight of about 3.3 ounces. All postage payments of standard class mail can be combined together. That's regular, nonprofit, metered, pre-canceled stamps, so it doesn't matter. It can have different indices on it. It can have anything. Those can be combined into one mailing with system-generated postal documentation. How we do this is with upfront data processing intelligence and physical mail staging of the mail to allow it to be commingled in a pass or two passes, depending on who you use for commingle, and finalized in some in-house operations, okay? Mail is only processed on the machines that need to be or can be to generate a net savings after processing costs. There's no sense running mail that's already sorted to the five-digit SCF level through a commingle operation, because you're going to be paying the person who's commingling it to run it through the machine, and if there's no increase or decrease in postage costs, it would not be worthwhile to run it through the machine. So all commingling is not alike. The pool of mail that is being used to be combined together will determine your eventual postal qualification and dropship penetration. So the postage commingle postage that you get today may not be the postage cost that you get tomorrow. It depends on the mail that it's being combined with. However, there are some commingulers that say, no matter what, sometimes I'll win, sometimes I lose. We'll set the set rate of whatever that cost is. So if it's a good pool and sometimes you win and it's costing me more, or sometimes vice versa, it's a little lower and I'm winning. So some companies use an all-in rate. So this is a machine that is a commingle machine, and you can see there's lots of bins and trays and things like that. So what we do is we take the mail, again, from all these different mail streams, and we load it into this machine, and this machine reads the barcode. And you pre-program the machine to say, when it sees a piece of this zip code, throw it to bin 142. When you see a piece of this zip code, throw it to bin 145. Okay, so you run all the mail through this big machine at super, super high rates of speed, and it shoots the mail with the similar zip codes to, or the same zip codes, or the same zip scheme to these bins. So, again, on a piece-by-piece basis, it's looking at the mail and it's sorting it so that if you have 10 pieces from one mailing going to zip code 05301, 40 pieces going to 05301 from another mailing, and 211 pieces going from another mailing, it's now combining all of those into one tray, all going at a five-digit rate, other than getting individual three-digit rates or AADC rates or whatever. So it's taking it, and then it's giving you an opportunity, if you have enough volume going to that zip code, saying, okay, now we can penetrate this to the NDC or the SCF. So what are some sample net results with commingling? It's all about the dollar save, okay? I own a company called Terry's Eatery. Not really. Okay, so here's an example. Eight different versions, for one of our customers. This means it has 8 different envelopes, okay? It's 8 different creatives. The postage with no drop shipping to the NDC or the SCF and no commingling is $135,000, okay? If we decide to, okay, let's just drop ship it. Let's not commingle it. Let's just break it up, and we'll separate it into those different NDCs or SCFs throughout the country, and how much postage will we pay on that? Well, that postage is $129,208. Cost per piece is 0.2553 or 25.53 cents a piece. Again, these are all estimated numbers, and the cost for the freight and all that are just kind of mock-up numbers. So there we go, but there's some savings if we just go from no drop ship to drop ship. Now we're going to say, okay, we're going to commingle it, and we're going to send it to the NDC and the SCF. How much can we save? Well, here we go. Now we're getting a cost per piece of 23.49 cents, and we're saving a totaling of $16,500. So in this small mailing of 500,000 pieces, if you commingled it or our customer commingled it, we could save them about 16,500 pieces, sorry, pieces, dollars or more based on this kind of mock scenario. So it's all about getting results and getting lower costs. Okay, so on a COPAL, we talked on commingle, it's a piece-by-piece basis, but on a copalletization, we're doing it tray-by-tray. On tray-by-tray, we're not opening up the tray. We have small volumes of mail. We have a 50,000-piece mailing and going to 500 pieces through different NDCs throughout the country. Well, if I've got 500 pieces going to Dallas from Connecticut, I'm not going to pay for a truck to drive out that 500 pieces. What I'm going to do is I'm going to want to combine it potentially with other people's mail so that I can get a whole skid of that mail going to Dallas and save on the money without having to pay minimum freight fees. That's what COPAL does for you. It allows you to combine your mail with other people's mail on a tray-by-tray basis and save not on tiers of postage, but just by being able to penetrate to the NDC or the SCF. And based on our previous talks, we talked those per-piece savings are 3.3 cents going to the NDC or 4.3 cents going to the SCF, which in turn is $43 a thousand. Now, with both Commingle and COPAL, there's a cost. The service provider is going to charge you for preparing the mail, whether it's for the Commingle or for the COPAL. So you have to be cognizant of that, and you have to work with your service provider to make sure that no matter what, you come out on top. If, for instance, Datamail, we would never commingle or COPAL or do anything like that where there wasn't a postage savings. And if for some reason we made a mistake and we went ahead and we commingled something and there wasn't a postage savings, we obviously wouldn't charge the customer the commingle fee unless it was a postage save. Okay, so this is just a picture of how the COPAL works. Again, it's a combination of the trays of different clients' mail, all combined going to the same dropship location. The net result of COPAL, similar to the commingle spreadsheet that I showed you, by COPAL, you don't normally save as much as you do for commingle, but again, it depends on the freight and such. You have to find that perfect balance. On this particular mailing of 76,000 pieces, we're looking at about $2,100 in savings as a result of copalletization. We talked about standard class flow. I briefly went through this before because someone had the question about the NDC and the SCF, and this is where a lot of those terms come into play. Now that this is tiny on my screen. As we can see on the origin entry on the top chart, we see that it starts at the post office. It goes through to the origin, which we talked about the local entry, goes to the ADC if it goes through origin entry, to the SCF, and then the DVU. However, with dropship entry, it's going to the NDC, then to the SCF, then to the DVU. So there's less time to get the mail in home if you drop ship it because you are doing the trucking and you have more control over the mail. So you have a better way of determining an in-home date when you do the drop ship. So not only are you saving money, but you're saving time because and the post office puts out these service standards. The service standards being from the NDC to in-home is an average of 5 days, from the SCF to in-home, an average of 3 days, and the DDU, which is your local post office, an average of 2 days. So if I go directly to an NDC, I have a better chance of knowing when it's going to get in-home based on the entry service standards. Whereas if I just drop it locally and I send it to Hartford and I let them do all the preparation of the mail and the sortation of the mail and the combination of the mail, that could stretch to weeks. With this, I have a more predictable in-home date.
Carrie, I got a couple quick questions for you. If let's assume that I'm a provider and I'd like to be able to take advantage of some of the postal discounts, can I come to somebody like a data mail and ask them to help with commingling mail pieces if I don't have the technology? What's the best way to get at that?
Well, there are companies that just do commingle themselves. There are service providers that do that. Somebody like a data mail, we would generally only commingle the mail that we're processing. Otherwise, we'd be pushing our clients' mail to the side. Yes.
Okay. But there are a number of firms out there that act as a provider just to do the commingling capability.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. You don't. I'm going to ask you, and I'll ask Leo on this one also. Do you happen to know the names of any of those types of companies? And I don't want to endorse anybody, but we do have a question from one of our participants.
Yeah, it would be a Pitney Bowes Presort Mailing Services. I believe there's one in the Boston area. I don't know if JLS still does it, but Pitney is big in that.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so we talked about the fact that it's a quicker in-home delivery based on being able to co-tray or commingle because you're going to the NDC or to the SCF. So there is time, though, in preparing and getting pieces ready for commingle and co-palletization. Sometimes that scares people away. So they could say, well, I could either mail Tuesday, this Tuesday today, or I could commingle on Friday. And a lot of companies have got in their head that I've got to get my 3602. And they miss the opportunity, and they say, no, I want to mail on Tuesday. I don't want to wait till Friday and commingle. But what we have to remember is by mailing on Friday with commingle, I'm going to be getting a better tier of postage, I'm going to save money, and I'm going to be able to predict my in-home date better. Because if I mail today and it's going local entry, it could be weeks for delivery. Whereas if I commingle on Friday and I get good penetration and I go to the SCF five-digit, I'm 3 days to in-home. So even though it's been a couple, 3 days to prepare the mail to commingle for it to run through the machines, you generally beat or equal the in-home range as if you mailed today. Okay, so there's a trade-off. But again, it's about the same delivery, and you save money. So don't be one of those people that think, I need my 3602, or that's a postage statement for those who don't know you, that don't know that. I need my postage statement to have today's mail date. It needs to say, you know, May 21st. No. Try to sell your legal department. Try to get them to understand that it's not getting in home any sooner, and you're going to save money if you wait and you commingle or you co-pal. Okay, I know I'm getting close to the end here, so we want to quickly go through and just talk a little bit more about the delivery of that co, whether it be co-pal or co-mingle. There are software providers out there or service providers out there that can track the delivery of your mail. So after you've optimized your postal penetration and you have a better understanding of the time it takes to get in-home, you can target specific in-home dates. So these companies, like IntelliSent, can track the delivery of your mail to see if your projections are correct. So they can take that mail, they can get the delivery scans using the IMB and the information in the IMB that would be programmed and can see, okay, what kind of delivery am I getting? Am I hitting my in-home date or do I need to adjust my delivery date, my mailing date? Finally, a little bit about data hygiene. You want to make sure you have a clean list. You want to not spend the postage and the processing money on mail that is not deliverable or being thrown away by the Postal Service. Steps to do this is CAS, which you have to do anyway, NCOA, which you have to do anyway for auto, and then there's address correction service, which is optional. So there are service providers like IntelliSent who can feedback information on your deliverability with the ACS. A company like IntelliSend can track your undeliverable mail electronically so you can cleanse your list and not mail to bad addresses again. This will save you processing and postage costs for future mailings. So if you've got a 100,000-piece mailing and you've purchased the list and it's a prospect list and 10,000 of those aren't deliverable and you mailed it standard class because it was just a bad list or there was a lot of movements or there was a lot of snowbirds and the mail got thrown away, you would want to know that. And the only way to know that on standard class mail would be if you put some kind of address correction service on it. Before, it used to be very costly. You'd have to put an endorsement on there. You'd have to pay for each piece that came back. Weighted mail fee, 1.4, I think, by the single-piece mail rate. We're talking dollars per piece. With electronic delivery, you can get that through companies like IntelliSend, and you can see, okay, here's a mailing of 310,000 pieces. Wow, I have 50,000 Nixies. Nixies is an undeliverable. The post office threw that piece away. It never got in home. So you want that knowledge, and this is a good way to know what pieces are being thrown away so that you can adjust your mailing list and potentially where you're getting your list in the future.
Hey, Carrie, I have one real quick question, and I'll let you wrap up. But is there any software that you recommend for scrubbing addresses at the point of data entry?
For scrubbing addresses at the time of, I mean, NCOA is really the best scrub.
Okay.
And then there's a lot of providers out there that will pull in those Nixies and offer things that you can do with that. But again, it's all dependent upon what kind of Nixie it is. There's so much tweaking, and sometimes there's a Nixie that you still want to mail to. So it's hard. It's, again, there's no silver bullet.
Okay, great, thanks.
Okay, so my final thoughts, you really need to understand the principles of how to save money on your mailing so you can ask your service providers the right questions. Your goals are obviously to pay the lease and postage, reduce your undeliverables, hit your in-home dates or know when they're getting in-home, and get great responses. There's no reason to mail unless you get responses, right? So by using the strategies that best fit your workflow, you can be successful. I'll put my slide up there. If I talk too fast or anybody has any additional questions, please feel free to contact me. My email address and phone number are on this screen.
Hey, thanks a bunch, Carrie, and we really are just about at the top of the hour. I'm going to ask one more question of you, and then we'll wrap up. I did get a question on intelligent mail barcoding that I wanted to just touch on, and the question came in that this company is currently using a full basic services IMB. And the question is, what difficulties can they expect to convert or qualify for full service ACS?
The difficulties for, there's no qualification for full service ACS. If you've got full service and you've already got your IMB program, you know how to program your IMB, you need to team up with a partner to be able to monitor that ACS, those ACS feeds and how you're getting that information back. A lot of mailers don't have the infrastructure or the programs built to be able to do that on their own. So that's when they would go to somebody like an IntelliSend who are going to help them and put it in a readable format that are going to get that electronic information back and be able to say, okay, out of your mailing list of 100,000, you've got 4,000, and this is the reason why. There are no mail receptacle or there's snowbirds or whatever. So you really want to team up with somebody who's got that infrastructure already set up.
Okay. And I just had one other comment as I wrap up here. And somebody, we asked about companies that do the commingling, one of our participants indicated there's a firm in Connecticut named PSI that does it. I'm just going to wrap up.
Pitney Bowes. Yep.
Is that Pitney Bowes? Okay.
Yes, it is.
I wasn't sure. You got a new acronym, and so I just wanted to throw it out. There you go.
Okay.
Let me just kind of wrap up with one final slide, and that is, you know, I think what you're seeing and what you're hearing is direct mail is still an integral part of the marketing mix. And we didn't talk about it. I mean, the Postal Service is offering discounts to people that blend in QR codes so that piece of mail in the mail stream actually does become part of the cross-media integration in terms of how you communicate with customers. There's clearly mechanisms for reducing the cost of postage, and you know, Carrie and Leo talked about a number of those. The only other recommendation that I would make to everybody is that in a lot of instances, I have service providers that are doing the kinds of things that Carrie's doing for her customers at Datamail, and you need to make sure that your client base understands the value that you bring and that you're delivering in terms of overall savings for that direct mail program. And so I would like to thank everybody for joining us. If you have any other questions, we'll check in the Q&A box and make sure that we get to them, and we'll get back to you with an email response. I'd really like to thank everybody for taking time out of their busy schedules to join us. I'd also like to thank Canon Solutions America for sponsoring the webinar, and there's a feedback survey. If you've got a minute, please fill it out. Again, have a great day. Thanks very much, and thanks to both Carrie and Leo.